Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 24. I know you figured it out. I'm speaking on the resurrection today. It'd probably be unwise to do any other thing today than to talk about the birth of Christ, or the birth of Christ, the death of Christ. I'm having a hard time this morning. But anyway, as we come together, we'll be looking today at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. A passage probably very familiar. We hear it probably every year, and maybe it's sometimes in between Easter that we to go back and talk about the risen Lord. But this is one truth that is the blessing of our whole experience with Christ, is that He arose victorious over the grave, He ascended back into heaven, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. The Lord Jesus Christ is known as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When I think of kings, I wonder, kings of what? He's kings of everything. He's the King of creation, and He's Lord over all. There's nobody here this morning that was not created by Him, by the way. As we know that God formed us and gave us the ability to be here today and to serve Him and to love Him. But the real question I have today for you is, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? Friend, Jesus can be my Savior. I can know Him and know I'm going to heaven. But to somebody else, Jesus may just be Jesus. You said, what do you mean by that? I mean, well, they know He's Jesus and they know He has power. But the real truth is they really do not know Him as their personal Savior. Again, it seems like sometimes I harp on it a lot, but I'm going to say it again. You don't become a Christian by joining the church. You don't become a Christian by being baptized. You don't become a Christian by coming to church every Sunday and reading your Bible and praying. And all those things are important and good. But friend, today you come to Jesus Christ through a personal relationship with Him. I believe understanding that He died and that He was buried and that He rose again. And I think that's essential. I've heard somebody say to me quite often, it really doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as we all believe. I want to say today, it does matter what you believe, and I believe it's impossible to be saved apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today we come here and we find Jesus. I preached last week about the crucified King on the cross, but now we come today, and just to reiterate a little bit of Him on the cross, it was about the noon on the day that Jesus was crucified. Darkness had filled the sky, and the sun had been totally blocked out. The Lord's disciples, listen to this, the Lord's disciples all had scattered, all but only one was left to be with Him when He died. Judas betrayed Him, and he sold Him for 30 pieces of silver. And we find that somebody asked me last week, what happened to Judas? Judas came in and threw the money back at those that gave it to him, and the Bible said he went out and hanged himself. And I would say, after betraying the Lord, how terrible it would be in the guilt that you'd live with. We find that Peter denied Jesus, he going as far as cursing and swearing in his denial. Where do we find Peter at? We find him laying, weeping uncontrollably, now that he has betrayed the Lord, by which the Lord had told him He would do so. Only John had remained with Him, and it would appear to anyone present that day that the darkness, the devil, and death had defeated the Son of God. That's what it would look like. I mean, literally, a dark day when Jesus hung on that cross. And no doubt many under their breath were saying, the darkness, the devil, he's been defeated, the Son of God is gone. But I want you to know the darkest of dawns was about to break into the most glorious daybreak you could ever imagine. Psalm 35 said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I'm glad this morning that joy comes in the morning, and we can relate to that and understand what God is saying and what He will do. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter number 24, Luke chapter number 24, and I'm going to begin reading verses 1 through 8. We'll be reiterating that and going over it again. But the Bible said, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of God must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day he would rise again. And listen to this very interesting verse in verse 8. And they remembered his words. I want you to know today a lot of people have forgot his words. But if they're saved, one day they're going to remember his words. And they're going to remember it's too late then. But thank the Lord here in this passage of scripture, Jesus had revealed himself to them just as he told them they would. And we find they come, find the stone rolled away, and the angels ask them, what are you doing here? Why do you seek the living among the dead? And they remembered his words. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together this morning, Lord, to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, it's so imperative that we understand, that we digest, Lord, that we think about the Word of God, that we don't forget it and understand every promise in the book that has not come to pass will one day come to pass just as you said it would. And Lord, today help us as we see even in the lives of the disciples there was doubt among some. But Lord, today I pray that you'd help us and thank you, Lord, that we're on the other side of the resurrection. Lord, thank you that we've come to this place today where we can grasp a hold of the truths that you've given to us. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I want you to see, first of all, today, the resurrection not only gave the disciples answers, but it gave them assurance. I want you to know today the long journey which began in Gethsemane and went to Golgotha took less than 24 hours. But it ended with Jesus being nailed to a cross and dying there, and literally giving up the ghost. But the question I like is, he said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Friend, today we need to understand today we serve a living Savior. He is not dead. We don't need to act like he's dead. We don't need to do like he's dead. We need to understand he's alive. And if you're saved by the grace of God, he indwells you. And he walks with you and he talks with you and he tells you that he is your own. Now, this morning, I want to share with you some things that I believe these people were thinking about, and I've entitled the message, No Worries, He Is Risen. And friend, today I want to say to you, no worries, He is risen. I want to say to you today, no worries, because one day He's coming again. I want to say no worries because we're in His hands, and God is able to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We find when Jesus died, the first thing we notice is their hopes were dashed. Friend, if you'll remember now, Jesus had been with them, he had walked with them, he had taught them, he had instructed them, he had guided them, and now all of a sudden Jesus has been taken and put on a cruel cross. He died there, and literally to them, because they did not remember at the time, and because they had not comprehended what he said, they in their minds said, he's gone, he's gone. What are we going to do? I want to say today their hopes were dashed. The Bible said in Luke 23, verse 46 through 49, and if you have your Bible, I'll just turn over there and read that. The Bible said in Luke chapter 23, in verse 46 through 49, I'll get there in a minute. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts in return. And all his acquaintance and the woman that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. I want you to understand those that were there the day Jesus died, they were focused on one thing and one thing only. They was focused on the pain, the agony, and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, today there's no terrible feeling any worse than standing and seeing somebody take their last breath or somebody pass away. Even though we know perhaps they're saved and they're going to heaven, but all we can think about is they're gone. What are we going to do now? How are we going to survive? How are we going to get by? And I'm grateful today that in this world, God, because He is alive, He can take that place and He can fill that void and He can comfort our hearts in the way that was needed. Their master had been beaten. He had been scourged. He had been crowned with a crown of thorns, and he'd been hung on that hideous cross. And if you could, I wish you could see, if you have time today, walk by. If you could see the crown that Brother Frank made to put on the cross here, it has thorns about like that. And I would suspect those thorns are pretty bad, but I would suspect the ones Jesus had was probably a lot bigger and a lot stouter and probably a lot heavier. But yet, can you imagine them watching Jesus die when he had been confirmed as being dead? By the spear in his side, it was reported to Pilate, and two of his foremost secret disciples came and asked for his body. It was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They came and requested the body. These two men, along with the women that were there to perform the gruesome task of preparing the body for burial, once the Lord's body was removed from the cross, then his friends would be there to take his body to flex and massage his arms or whatever needed to be done, even though he was dead. They were trying to get him in a position for burial. As they waited, after washing his body and anointing it with oil and wrapping it in a single linen cloth, they laid a separate napkin, was tied under his chin to keep his mouth from gaping open when his muscles gave way and it loosened. Next, they would use, listen, this is love. They used between 75 and 100 pounds of spices to offset the smell of the decay. Friend, I want to remind you today, nothing we give God is too great. And I tell you, we still probably have never given him our best. Jesus was laid on a stone shelf inside the tomb. It had probably been excavated from a limestone hill. And all this was done quickly before the Sabbath, and his death brought an end to all their hopes and all their dreams. They were focused on his death, but they were also focused on their destiny. What's going to happen to us now? Isn't that kind of normal in our life? Usually when anything happens, we're focusing on ourselves. But understand today, we need to put our focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because after all, he's the one in control, right? He's the one that will guide us in the way that he go. The one that had instructed them. The one that had inspired them. The one that had illuminated them had been taken away. I tell you, sometimes we think about folks being taken away from us and we said, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Friend, the good news is for those who are saved, you're going to make it okay. But one day, by the grace of God, you're going to be reunited with them again. This is just temporary. We're just passing through. And thank God today we have the hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that one day we'll see Him and the glory of seeing Him that day and casting our eyes upon Him. Literally, that day it seemed as if the world had fell to pieces. It seemed now that the only one, the one that had healed the sick, the one that had raised the dead, the one that had performed miracle time and time again, the one that had preached and people had heard and listened, he's gone. What are we going to do? So they were focused on his death. Friend, I'm going to tell you, it's easy when death comes to focus on it. But friend, as the scripture said, joy comes in the morning one day when we get past it. Second of all, their hearts were discouraged. I won't read it again. I read it in verses 1 through 8 while ago in chapter number 24. But we find the story of where the ladies came and they brought their spices. They had prepared and others with them. And they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass that they were very much perplexed. Instead of what we're reading, I'm kind of paraphrasing it. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their face to the earth. But God, I heard my message this morning on the radio. I like that term, but God. I tell you, things look pretty bleak. But God came on the scene in the person of some angels. And we find here that these ladies that were there, they were unsure. The first few hours of that Sunday morning was no doubt filled with chaos. This was a morning in which the ground shook, a brilliant light flooded the garden, and the angel came and rolled the stone away. Matthew 28, verse 2 through 4 puts it this way. And behold, there was a great earthquake, For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it, and his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. What a sight that must have been. When Mary Magdalene and the other woman came to the tomb to complete the process, they saw the stone had been rolled away, and the first thought they had is somebody has stolen the body of Jesus. They've come in the night, and they moved it, and they stole him, and he's gone. The Bible said in John 20, in verse 1 and 2, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Again at this point, still focused on death, at this point still understanding the difficulty of the hour, they were looking for his body because to them he was dead. She ran and told Peter and John. The other women entered into the tomb, and the angel told them that Jesus was alive. We find in our text today in verses 3 through 8, it said they entered in, found not the body. But if we skip down to verse 6, the angel said unto them, he is not here. He is risen. And I tell you, the word that's really stuck with me this morning and this week as I prepared this is here. It says, remember how he spake unto you. And then verse 8, and they remembered his words. You know what revival will do? Revival will shock our hearts and our minds to make us remember what Jesus has done for us. I would say today that there's nobody here today that could say that Jesus had not been good to you. You may have had some difficulty along the way and some heartache that you've had to deal with. But through it all, God's been good and will continue to do so. Matthew 28, verse 8 through 10 puts it this way. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and they held him by the feet, and they worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Boy, can you imagine that kind of a message, and not coming from a messenger, but coming from the Lord himself. And now the ladies have been rewarded, and I think about how privileged those ladies were. Those ladies, they loved the Lord, and they were wanting to do whatever they needed to do, and they were giving of their self, their time, and their well-being, the spices they had gathered, in order that they might anoint the body of Jesus. The women did exactly what he told them to do, and they departed, they found the disciples, they told them what they had seen and heard. But listen at verse 11 of chapter number 24. Verse 11 of chapter number 24. And their words, this is when they got to the disciples. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. You understand this is his disciples? These are the ones that walked with him. These are the ones that talked with him. These are the ones that prayed with him, at least when they wasn't sleeping. But these are the ones that God had trained. Yet we find here, when she told them, they thought it was just idle tales that somebody had made up, but truly it was not him. The angels appearing in clothes that gleamed like lightning. They asked the women, what are you looking for? And they told them, of course, they were looking for God, and said, why are you looking for him among the dead? I've already mentioned it already today, but a lot of people are still looking for God among the dead. I love historical facts, and I love to read when they say that the Ark has been discovered and the Dead Sea Scrolls have been discovered. Listen, it helps to assure me, but if those things were never found, I've got enough in this book right here to convince me that Jesus is the Son of God, and that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and that Jesus is my Savior. But some people today look at all the historical stuff, but they miss out on the most important part. That's the spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to know today, he's not among the dead. You need to look for him among the living. I believe he's here with us this morning, amen? I believe he said, where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And truly, that's where he is. I think today, amazingly, the disciples did not believe. The story sounded like nonsense to them. But as time went past, they all somehow interpreted the words figuratively rather than literally. And Jesus' rest and death had stunned them all. Their disloyalty to him had humiliated them. And we know that many of them had been disloyal. But the last 2 days had been spent together in hiding as they tried to sort through what had happened. Peter must have told them about his experience in the high priest's courtyard in his blatant denials. You know what happens when people die? Just automatically we begin to think about, I wish I had one more time to talk to them. I wish I would have told them this. I wish I would have told them that. I believe that's where the disciples were. They were probably sitting there most miserable of all men as they began to say, we were with him and we could have showed him our love and we could have showed him our dedication. If only we had another chance. Little did they know at the moment that they would get another chance. Judas was so overwhelmed by what he did, killed himself, and now Jesus has been executed like a thief. What they were thinking is, we've been duped. What's going on? And then these women arrived sounding as though they had gone over the edge. It's empty. The tomb is empty. Perhaps, they said, the women hoped for too much. Perhaps they'd merely gone to the wrong tomb. But what's surprising, the 11 didn't believe it. They certainly were not going to make a trip to Galilee on the words of these women who supposedly had received the message from the two men at the tomb. Many skeptics today still try to write off the resurrection. I hear sometimes, from time to time, a preacher or maybe reading something and somebody say, you know, it really don't matter. You know, you don't have to believe. You know, you just have to believe in Jesus and you don't have to. Listen, I believe the gospel is summed up in a nutshell in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And truly today, even a missing body was not enough to convince them. We find that they were unbelieving, but they were uncertain. After receiving Mary Magdalene's word, Peter and John ran to the tomb. In John chapter 20, verse 4 through 7, so they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Now that was John. He's just writing it, so he just says the other disciple. But he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him. He went into the sepulcher. Does that surprise you? Peter, you know he's going to go right down to the source. And he seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. John stopped at the door and did not enter in. But Peter entered in, and he saw the linen wrappings. When a person died back then, they would wrap him in the linen cloth. And what's interesting, the linen cloth he was wrapped in was just like they laid him. And it's just as if, and I'm sure that's what happened, Jesus just got up and left it lying. Somebody said he got up and changed. No, he didn't change. He just got up, and the linen stayed there. And he got up, and he moved out, and everything was there. But he had folded up the napkin. He had placed it over to the side, and he had left it there. What a blessing, those illustration that goes with that I've used in the past. But close examination revealed the grave clothes had been left and looked like Jesus had just passed through them. So a grave robber couldn't possibly have done that. There was no sign of any hurriedness, or there was no neatness order there indicated that anything had happened. It was the fact that it was just like they had laid him. The empty tomb, the position of the grave clothes did not clear the air, but actually it just intensified the air of uncertainty to the disciples. Not only do we find the fact that they were focused on the death, and not only do we find today the fact that they were discouraged, no doubt, but we find thirdly, and if you have your Bible, well, not turn it there right now, but we find thirdly that the Bible said their hero was discovered. Friend, they loved Jesus. They saw the power of Jesus and all that he did. Have your Bibles, look with me in chapter 24 of Luke, beginning in verse number 13. think I said 24, I'm not sure, but it's 24, verse 13 through 49. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. Isn't it amazing? They were walking with God, didn't even know it. And now the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned. So they're telling him the story. Listen, he could have better told the story than they could because he experienced it. But yet he's telling them the story. And the Bible says that as they walked, he said, did not our hearts burn within us? In John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23, the Bible said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now remember, they'd gone into hiding. They were scared of the Jews. He said they were in that upper room there. They were there. And Jesus came and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Jesus appeared to his disciples. I tell you, it's only by his grace and mercy. But even though in his doubt, it wasn't that he got angry at them. He understood. He came to them. He revealed himself to them. And he begins to instruct them about the future. He's adding on to that which he had already given them prior to the resurrection. Now he's adding on to them about the future of what would take place. And by the way, there's a great deal that's given to us about what took place after he arose. But there was one fellow that wasn't there. His name was Thomas. And, you know, the Thomas said, you know, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. Unless I see, I'm not going to believe. So Jesus came again when Thomas was there. And when he came in, all he could say was, my Lord and my God. Jesus appeared and they knew who he was. Friend, today if you're saved, if you're on your way to heaven, I believe if Jesus walked down the aisle today, you'd have no problem recognizing who he was. Oh, I know you said, well, sure, he'd come. I'm sure you kind of picture in your mind how he would come. We don't know how he'd come. But I still believe if our spirits bonded with his spirit, we would recognize him. Jesus appeared to them, and they saw him, and then now they believe. Jesus assured them. The appearance of the Lord gave the disciples grave assurance. All of a sudden, what was off yesterday is on again. Our future is ruined. We don't know what we're going to do. Don't know where we're going to go. But now Jesus arose, and all of a sudden, things take a different strategy. Their hopes were no longer dashed. Their hearts were no longer discouraged. And we find here the resurrection had given them the essential to salvation. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's so sad today that many people will live this life rejecting Christ and die and spend eternity separated from God. When he says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was quite interesting that day. Some believed immediately. Some people heard the news that Jesus was alive, and maybe they remembered some of it. Maybe they had seen some things, but some of them we find in the Scripture, they believed immediately. Some believed with indirect evidence. Many at first doubted, but when they saw the evidence of the empty tomb and the way he left his grave clothes, they were convinced that it had happened, that he had arisen from the grave. Some believed with direct evidence. They would only believe that after seeing him with their own eyes. And I tell you today, what a blessing it must have been to see him with his own eyes, but it took that for them to be saved. But most believed by the witnesses, by the word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible said in John 20, verse 28 and 29, "And when Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God, Jesus saith unto him," now listen, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed." Folks, that's us. I've never seen him. I've read about him. I've experienced him in the pages of the book. But friend, my faith is a blind faith. It's not a blind faith, but to us, it's a step of faith in believing in someone we've never seen. And he says, "Thomas, I'm glad," basically what he said, "Thomas, I'm glad you believe. I'm glad you came to that conclusion." And that's good. But he said, "I'm going to tell you something better. Those that believed without having to see, blessed are they." You see, Jesus would never die again. Demons, darkness, and death had been defeated. Jesus is risen from the grave. The most important thing is they believed. Friend, the most important thing today is not anything else that I've said except this. Today, if you die in your sins, you're going to spend eternity separated from God. But if you believe in the crucified, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, call on his name, ask him to save you, you will have eternity in heaven. And what a joy it'll be that you got saved, even though you haven't seen. Most important thing today, is he your Savior? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? I don't know of any better way to put it. I believe today, do you know that if you stepped off into eternity today, that you'd go to heaven? None of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. We could all, some of us could go today, some of us this week, some of us next week, some maybe a year or two. But the truth is, no man know the day or the hour when the Son of Man will come. As Peter Marshall wrote, "Death is not a wall, but a door." I like that. Death is not a wall, it's a door. And we open that door, sadly, we open that door, we might as well understand that we're either going to enter into heaven or we're going to enter into a prison gate that will lead us to a place separated from God forever. Remember, the guards felt the earthquakes, they saw the light, but they failed to believe. They took money to spread the lie that his disciples had come by night and stole the Lord's body. Boy, I tell you, those people that put him to death didn't want to know that he had risen from the dead. They wanted to keep it alive. They wanted to say, "Look, this is somebody's come and stole the body," and they even got him to spread the lies that that be the case. But you can't hide it when he shows up. And I tell you, when he shows up in your life, you'll know it. I wonder today, have you come to realize your need of a Savior? Have you placed your trust in him? Has the devil and darkness and death been around you long enough? The forces are evil or grasping to get you. But today, when Jesus died and was buried and rose again, he defeated all that. I simply say this morning, if you're saved, no worries. He is risen. And if you're not saved, I still say, no worries. He still is risen if you're willing to confess him, call upon him, and be saved by the grace of God.